Welcome back to the Slop Drop. This is Nathan Rogers at WooPigSumo on Twitter. My tag partners for this episode is the unluckiest man on planet Earth. He's spreading bad luckamania from sea to shining sea. And the manager of champions, Mr. Stephen E. What's up, guys?
What's going on, Sumo? What's up?
What's up, guys? Just another day in paradise.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I don't know if it was like this down in North Arkansas, but boy, it got cold like overnight. It was like 80 degrees, and then all of a sudden, yes. You know, that 32 degree wind or wind chill, you know, slap you right in the face. And yeah, it got cold really fast.
That's the cool thing about the Ozarks. If you don't like the weather, just stick around a day or two. Yep.
Wait till tomorrow.
Summer one day and winter the next.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we get those beautiful things called tornadoes.
Yes.
So I came across the article, basically the 10 worst tattoos in pro wrestling. This was according to The Sportster, an article written. Was it a vlog, an article, a piece?
More like a blog, I'd say.
Yeah. Written by Matthew Wilkinson. I'll include the link to that piece in the show notes. You can follow them at the_sportster on Twitter. And him, Matthew, at MC_Wilkinson1 on Twitter. So I want to make sure they get props for this. This wasn't my list. It was theirs, but I thought it was interesting. Before we get to those ugly tattoos, if you want to avoid this situation, go to Traditions Electric Tattooing, located at 2305 South Campbell Avenue in Springfield, Missouri.
Ooh, yeah.
Without further ado, number 10 on their list is Perry Saturn's face tattoo.
Oh, man. You know, I'm not going to lie. I haven't looked at anything to research bad tattoos. So a lot of these that you tell me, I'm going to go, oh, man. Yes, that right there. Like, I it's hard to believe we've got more in front of this, because that might be one of the worst ever.
Getting a face tattoo is that's a pretty big decision to make.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in at number 9, Batista's belly button tattoo.
Isn't it the sun or something?
No, it's tribal.
Oh, it's a little sun looking thing.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Okay, I thought it was like a tribal piece.
He's since had some work done to it to make it look a lot better, but for years.
To make it look more masculine?
Yeah, maybe that'll help him.
Kiss some babies and hugging fat girls.
Kiss some more babies and hug fat girls, but yeah, that's another thing about some of these. They've gotten some additional work done to them, so they're not as bad, but still at one time in history, they looked pretty bad. Coming in at number 8 on their list, Scott Steiner's chest tattoo. It's some sort of chain.
Years ago, because that probably was about 2002 when it debuted. You know, when that came out, like the joke amongst all of our friends were that it looked like Scott Steiner had one of the like generic tattoos from one of the video games.
They're becoming fat asses.
Yeah, it looks like something you'd get, you know, at Halloween, you get the fake tattoos and stuff. You know how you get the sleeves? It looks like he got a shirt he just put on.
It was horrible, man. Horrible stuff.
Coming at number 7, and remember, this is from the Sportster. It's not from the Slop Drop. Brock Lesnar's chest tattoo. And I don't want Brock looking for us, so.
Pretty bad, boy. Pretty bad.
I think it's a great tattoo.
It's definitely iconic.
Yeah. You're not even talking about that. That's not even the beast tattoo in the back, on his back. You're talking about the chest.
Yeah.
The sword.
With the sword.
You're here. I'm here. Let's do this.
Number 6, CM Punk's Pepsi tattoo.
The Pepsi Man. What's
wrong with the Pepsi Man?
You
get a tattoo of I call it a pop. You gonna go Pepsi or Coke? What would you guys go with?
Pepsi. You know, Coke. What are you gonna do? Just write Coca-Cola on your arm? Pepsi's got the red and blue little. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
I'm gonna have to disagree with Pepsi Man. I would have got a Coca-Cola tattoo on my arm, but I'd probably live in regret. you know,
or the Gatorade Lightning or something like that.
Oh man, the monster tattoo. Ooh.
Monster, yeah.
Yeah, monster. Yeah.
I think if I was to have to get a beverage tattoo, it would probably be the monster.
Yeah, I had a buddy that got it on his chest, and he actually boxed professionally, and you know, I often wondered if he regretted doing that before, you know, turning pro, and he could have tried to get some of that that monster money.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know.
Number five on their list, Matt Morgan's back tattoo. It looking at it now, I'm not sure what it is. It's some evil looking eyes and a mouth, I think. I'm not sure.
Can you throw it up on the screen so we can see that? Because Jamie, pull Matt Morgan's tattoo up. Oh God, yeah, that's horrendous.
Did Jamie look at it?
Bad. Jamie, pull up.
Yeah, it looks better since he had it.
Pull it up, Jamie.
Since he had it filled in.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but you know, prior to being filled in, you know, that's it.
Let me see that. I've never seen that before. Oh my God, dude, that's. He did not go to Traditions Tattoo to get that.
No, there's a Big Papa Pumps.
Oh God!
Ironically, this showed up just in the same little.
Yeah.
Anybody that can see that? Yeah.
Yeah, he's got some work done to that since.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Number four, Braun Strowman's Superman tattoo. if there's a tattoo that's probably been overdone, that's probably one of them. And in full transparency, I almost got the Superman tattoo.
Did you? Yeah. Well,
because of sumo.
Yeah. Oh man. Whew. Yeah.
You go tell him it was a bad idea.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, hey, before we move on, can we talk about how like shredded that dude looks right now?
Looks
like,
great,
that
man.
That guy looks phenomenal. I mean, almost like a different, mm-hmm. just completely different, you know, person almost. It's crazy.
He's getting closer to like my body type.
I think that's probably a mistake, Vince letting him go.
Oh yeah, I
put him with a mouthpiece. He wasn't great on the mic, but just the sheer size of him.
Yeah,
man, yeah. Could have been a monster.
He's from Tennessee. Put Jim Cornette with him.
Yeah,
you know he could have. He's made a career at a putting Tennessee guys over. You know.
Number three on their list: Baron Corbin's stars tattoos.
Yeah. My testicles is that on his, are perfect. Is that on the back of his like ear?
He has some on his shoulders, but he has a lot of tattoos.
Yeah, yeah.
And most of his stuff actually looks pretty good.
Man, are you? You know, I don't know. Do you guys watch a lot of? Well, he's on SmackDown, right?
Yes, him and Madcap Moss.
Yeah. Do you guys? What do you think of the Happy Corbin character?
Not a fan. Our sloppies are coming up soon, and he's a nominee.
Oh, man.
I liked the bad luck Corbin gimmick better than
that. Yeah, I put a cease and desist on that shit.
Yeah, that's what happened. It was going great until
Chapman put a cease and desist on it. Yeah, gimmick.
Hey, I told them they'd pay me, throw me a little bit of that. They can have it, but they wouldn't do it. We couldn't meet on a final number.
Number two, Buff Bagwell's arm tattoo. Which,
gosh.
Honestly, I didn't even think it was a tattoo. I thought it was a piece of tape around his bicep.
I don't guess I ever.
Is it like a tribal piece?
You can't really tell. Oh, it looks like a piece of
electrical
tape.
Oh, yeah, I knew
tape.
He had that one.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a band.
It does. It has like the feather on the back of it. Yeah. No, that, yeah.
That's right. I forgot the feather. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got the feather on the back of it.
I don't know, man. I don't.
He's a Bagwell fan. He likes
Bagwell fan.
And number one on their list, Cody Rhodes' neck tattoo.
Dude, if it wasn't going to be, I heard another podcast, and that host was talking about how that is the moment that people started to turn their backs on Cody when he came out, because how can you back somebody up that is so stupid to get a neck tattoo like that? You know,
here's my question. How did we get Buff Bagwell on here, but we didn't get Lance Boyd's tramp stamp on here?
Well, that was a question. What you guys thought of the list, and if you thought anybody should be moved around or added.
You don't like Lance Hoyt's
tramp stamp?
It's a cemetery.
It is now, but it wasn't always. It used to be just a big-ass tramp stamp.
You tell Lance that he's got a tramp stamp, okay? I've worked with Lance, and that... No,
dude, like CCW days, it was a tramp stamp.
Oh, and you, no, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not going on any records talking about Lance like that.
I want to bring up the Rock's tattoo.
Which one? The Brahma?
I hate the fact that he got rid of the Brahma Bull and did that whole 3D, big sleeve piece.
So as far as this list goes, I think Saturn probably needs to be bumped up a little higher than
that. I can think of another one that was so bad that it didn't even get covered up. It got flat out removed. Sarah.
Sarah.
It didn't even get covered up. They went in and probably paid tens of thousands of dollars to just remove that thing, you know. And that one was pretty bad. But let's not forget,
the Undertaker had his wife at the time, Sarah, on his throat. Of course, they divorced, and she went away, and the tattoo ended up going away.
The tattoo went away. What about? Can we call ridiculous like fake face tattoos? Because Lord Tensai had the worst.
Yes.
The worst face fake tattoos I think ever. You know.
And can't think of his name right now, but the Japanese guy. I was a fan
of
him.
Hakushi. Yeah. Could you imagine having to go down to makeup every night that you had to work to get that? You know, I'm sure it was something simple, you know, they made it easy. Like, I don't know. I can't imagine him having to sit there for 3 or 4 hours to get that, you know, that done. I'm sure that was some type of a stencil that they had, but could you imagine having to sit in the chair to do all that stuff? Horrible.
No, I think Saturn should be at least number two on here behind Cody Rhodes, if not number one. But there is some good tats in wrestling. There's too many to name, but some of the most iconic ones, Chapman, you mentioned The Rock, the Brahma Bull.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Brock Lesnar's is on here, that's pretty iconic.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I think Austin's Texas tattoo on his ankle.
Yeah.
Remember, like a lot of people know that. Mm-hmm. HBK's tattoo on his arm.
Bam Bam Bigelow.
Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yeah.
Luna Vachon.
Yeah. Even Cody's, I mean, like them or not, now forever, just like you think of Bam Bam Bigelow's tattooed head, you're going to think of Cody Rhodes' tattooed neck. So,
you know, and not only that, but man, like I saw him in a suit the other day. You were probably having some sort of business meeting, and I have tattoos, but like when you put a suit tie on, and that thing still sticks out, you know, it looks so bad.
Nothing screams trash, like, I don't know, you know, and some people can pull it off, you know, like, I think if you had a certain look, you know, and maybe, you know, I'm not against sleeves and even having them on your neck, and it's not for me, but even your face, but, you know, you got to carry
He would have picked anything except for that stupid Nightmare Family logo,
yeah,
he probably would have been okay, but that thing is idiot.
He's establishing that he owns that logo, you know. That's his merch.
If you're going to go on any type of crime spree, I would not recommend getting a tattoo on your face, head, or...
Not to switch gears on us, but, you know, I can sum the worst tattoo in MMA history.
I know exactly where you're going.
Yeah.
Alan Buster.
I wasn't even going to say his name. All I was going to say was Johnny Cash. And, you know, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go look Alan Belcher up. He's made, you know, probably millions of dollars with his gym, and he's yet to cover that bad boy up, I bet.
Alan Belcher visits our neck of the woods frequently, and he is jacked now. He's a heavyweight boxer now.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he boxing professionally?
He's put on a lot of muscle. Yeah, he's boxed professionally. I think he's 1-0 so far.
Very cool.
Well, moving right along to some history.
The history of our sport.
And the history of our sport
in pro wrestling history. In professional wrestling history.
Cut the music.
63 years ago this week, Ravishing Rick Rude was born on December 7th, 1958.
God, would he have been 63 years old, man?
How good was Ravishing Rick Rude?
Wow. Yeah, he was real good. You know, he was one of those guys that I don't think at any point in his career was he ever a face. You know, I guess he kind of had a little, tweener push with DX when he was walking around with him. But other than that, like, can you think of any time that he was a face?
No.
The only man to ever simultaneously appear on both Monday Night Raw and WCW.
I don't know. Vince McMahon did that too.
And although he had one of the greatest manager in history, he didn't want Heenan.
Yeah.
He was a good enough talker without him.
Well, and you know, to be honest, he wasn't good enough talker. Yeah. He was real good on the mic, but you know, it's like, you know, how do you, you know, I think Bobby Heenan, you add Bobby Heenan to anybody and he's going to elevate him, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody except
the Brooklyn Brawler.
Yeah. And I don't know what the deal with that was. He was not. That wasn't a good run.
49 years ago this week, Ric Flair made his professional wrestling debut against George Gadaski and went to a time limit draw.
By the way, have we forgotten I'm a wrestling god?
Oh boy, yeah. Yeah,
I think he's earned his pension. 49 years in professional wrestling.
Yeah, 49 years. That's we're almost to the 50 years. And it, you know, Lawler just celebrated a 50 year anniversary. What, last year, 18 months ago?
Yeah, still wrestling.
Yeah, still wrestling, man. It's crazy to think that
going to kids' parties and putting on shows and stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's crazy to think that that Flair's been around for 49 years. You know.
48 years ago this week, Bruno Sammartino beat Stan Stasiak at Madison Square Garden to win his second WWF title, becoming the first man to win the belt on more than one occasion.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
Years ago, Jack Briscoe defeated Giant Baba to win the NWA title in Japan. It seems like these two did a lot of title swapping in Japan back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
46 years ago this week, Terry Funk beat Jack Briscoe to win the NWA World title, making Terry and Dory Funk Jr. the first pair of brothers to hold this title.
I am meaner than a rattlesnake, tougher than shoe leather.
Terry Funk, man. He's another guy like Rick Rude. The older I get, the more I appreciate what those two do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, the thing with Funk is he was just – he's that old school tough man. You know, it's like you get in there and you could almost see him telling them, lay it in, you know. It just, they don't get any tougher than them old Texans, man. You know, them Funk brothers, they were something
dog.
Else.
Thirty-four years ago this week at the 14th taped WWE Saturday Night's main event, Strikeforce, Tito Santana and Rick Martel retained the WWF tag titles against Nikolai Volkoff and Boris Zukov, and Hulk Hogan retained the WWF title against King Kong Bundy.
Wow. Yeah, those were awesome, man. That was equivalent to pretty much a pay-per-view.
You know why he retained it? Because he's got the red, white, and blue running through his veins.
I thought you were going to say because it worked for him that night, brother.
Yeah,
that
don't work for me, brother.
That don't work for me, brother.
33 years ago this week, WCW Clash of Champions 4, Road Warrior Animal beat Dusty Rhodes by DQ for possession of the NWA World Six-Man Tag title. That was a cluster. The Fantastics beat Eddie Gilbert and Ron Simmons to win the vacant U.S. tag titles, and Barry Windham and Ric Flair beat the Midnight Express.
Woo!
Woo!
Barry Windham.
And I miss those Clash of the Champions, man. They were cool. You know, again, it's no secret. I wasn't a huge WCW or even an NWA guy back then, but you know, they always caught my attention. You know, I don't know why I would watch those and maybe not necessarily watch like the 605 until later, but yeah, they were good shows, good production.
32 years ago, Haystacks Calhoun died in his home of Collin County, Texas, at the age of 55. I don't remember ever watching any Haystacks Calhoun matches, but I heard a lot about him. My dad talked about him a lot. So I guess he was pretty popular back in the day.
And he actually got married in a WWF ring, I think.
Really?
Didn't he? Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did. He got married in a WWF ring. So, or maybe that was Cousin Wilbur or something. I don't know. You know? Could have been.
Also, WWE taped the match part of the movie No Holds Barred in Nashville, Tennessee. The pay-per-view was a package deal. No Holds Barred movie accompanied by a tag team match of Hulk Hogan and Brutus the Barber Beefcake against Macho Man Randy Savage and the film's villain, Zeus, Tiny Lister.
Yeah. That doesn't work for me, brother.
Hogan don't even get beat in the movies.
I loved how they broke down the wall and kind of like went, you know, they went from the big screen to Saturday Night's main event, you know, or you know, Survivor Series or whatever other pay-per-view. You know, for a long time I would see Zeus, and you know, that guy just scared the crap out of me. You know, he was just a scary individual. And you know, and then when you'd start seeing a movie, it's like, oh, that's Zeus. You don't realize that he had a pretty storied movie career before that ever even, you know, took place. And you know, of course, with you know, his movies after that, you know, I mean, like Connor Cole's like Friday. Yep. Yeah. You know, what do you mean? That's my bike.
Yeah. You got knocked the fuck out.
31 years ago this week, AWA World Champion Larry Zbyszko surrendered the title and signed with WCW. That's Chapman's favorite WCW commentator personality. There you go, the living legend. 27 years ago this week at a WCW Saturday Night's taping, Harlem Heat beat Stars and Stripes to win the WCW tag titles, and the match aired on January 14th, 1995.
I guarantee the Stars and Stripes win them back.
Tell me, you did not just say that.
The sad part is it's actually pretty wonderful won them from Harlem Heat.
Yeah. 26 years ago this week, ECW's December 2 dismember. The Sandman won his third ECW world title in a three-way against Mikey Whipwreck, who was the current champ, and some guy by the name of Steve Austin. This Austin guy went on. He had two. This was his second and last match in ECW before going to someplace called WWE.
Did he only have two matches?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Had some killer promos, though.
Yeah, I knew he did a bunch of promos.
Yeah, his promo work down there was pretty iconic. Yeah. You know, Uncle Eric.
Yeah. 25 years ago this week at ECW Holiday Hell, Raven defeated the Sandman in a barbed wire massacre match to become the ECW World Champion.
What about me? What about Raven?
About Raven.
I really like the Raven stuff in WCW. The Flock, the DDT.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah, the Evil Bro DDT, yeah.
I was actually watching the thing earlier where fans get involved. There's one where Raven's sitting in the corner cutting his promo, and he's like, and if you ever do that, and some dude jumped the rail and just pulled Raven right out of the ring and dumped him on his head. That's where he got the crap beat out of him.
Yeah, yeah. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
24 years ago, DX, In Your House, that was actually the title of a pay-per-view, was the first pay-per-view in WWE since the Montreal Screwjob. Taka Michinoku beat Brian Christopher to become the new light heavyweight champion. That title had been vacant since 81, and then Ken Shamrock defeated champion Shawn Michaels by disqualification after Owen Hart attacked HBK out of revenge for Brett.
Brett screwed Brett.
Exactly what I was about to say.
So they're playing with a little reality, mixing the real life with...
Blurring the lines.
Also, 24 years ago to this week, Stone Cold Steve Austin surrendered the IC belt to The Rock, allowing Austin to drop the title and begin his pursuit of the WWF Championship without suffering a loss on the road to WrestleMania. He was also nursing some injuries.
I don't guess I realized that he dropped it.
Yeah, he was supposed to wrestle him in the main event on Raw.
And he just gave it to him.
And I think the next day or whatever, he threw it in the river.
Yep, he threw it in the river. That's exactly right.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm. On WCW Nitro, Disco Inferno won the WCW TV title from Perry Saturn.
Disco Fever. I tell you he's not the most liked man in the wrestling podcast community. Boy, I don't know. I guess he's pissing people off, or he said
one of the
bad
people that Arn Anderson legitimately
slacked across. Yeah, he did. That's right, he did.
Smacked him right across the face. And Disco admitted he definitely doesn't deny that. He said, "Yep,
yeah." There's no, he's not trying to, you know, try not to deny the allegations. Yeah, well, Arn Anderson, he doesn't want Arn to get that Glock.
Yeah, Glock Anderson. Also, 24 years ago at a Raw taping, Commissioner Sergeant Slaughter set up a European Championship match between champion Shawn Michaels and Triple H to cause tension between DX. However, Shawn laid down, Triple H pinned him. They get up, celebrate together, and Triple H is the new European champion.
Just for further notice, one of you nuts is hanging out of your shorts.
Well, it's a shame, too, because that European title, you know, I really liked it. I liked the European title. You know, Davey Boy had it, and, you know, I think it would still be something good to have around. And yeah. But by that time, they were just kind of throwing it wherever, and it lost a lot of its meaning.
23 years ago this week, Chris Candido and Lance Storm went a three-way over Doug Furness and Phil LaFon, who was the champs at the time, and Axel and Balls Mahoney to win the ECW tag titles. Also 23 years ago, Capital Carnage from London, England, Steve Austin won a fatal four-way against The Undertaker, Kane, and Mankind with the assistance from Special Enforcer Vinnie Jones, who was a what we call a famous soccer player, what they call a football player.
That's crazy when you think about that. Kane, Undertaker, Mankind. You know, Mankind, and Stone Cold, all in the same, you know, in the same match on the same pay-per-view with Vinnie Jones.
What a time to be a fan.
Well, Vinnie Jones, he was a soccer player, but he was an actor.
Yeah. Yep.
I actually watched a movie with him not too long ago. Remember that movie Snatch?
Mm-hmm.
He was the guy that rolled the guy up in the window and like, "I'm sorry, I can't hear you." And it's like going down.
Oh, yeah.
Bodyguard type guy. Okay. Yeah. Like, he's a legit tough guy.
Oh, yeah. He's a superstar in the UK, too.
Yeah, that's not somebody you would want to mess with, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean.
Remember, was it and the fact that yours says replica and mine says 0.50 Desert Eagle. Good stuff, man. Never watched Snatched.
Got Brad Pitt in it, right?
Yeah, Brad Pitt. You know, it's pretty dang.
22 years ago this week, Jushin Thunder Liger defeated Psychosis for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship on WCW Monday Nitro. Yeah, it happened on Nitro.
Wow. Yeah. I vaguely remember that, but I don't remember it being a Nitro, but obviously, yeah, it's crazy.
Also, WCW Thunder taping, Bret Hart and Goldberg defeated Creative Controlled, Gerald and Patrick, to win the WCW tag titles.
God, who was Gerald and Patrick?
It was the Harris brothers.
Ah.
It was a rib on Gerald Briscoe and
Pat Patterson. Yeah.
I wonder what Brett thought of being paired up with Goldberg.
Well, that was prior to his.
Yeah. Ultimately, he ended Brett's career, but I just.
Yeah.
Because we know what he thought about Hogan.
Do I like Hulk Hogan? No, I don't. I think he's a phony piece of shit.
Well, the fact is, though, whether Brett wants to admit it or not, he probably won't. They teamed him with the hottest wrestler in the world at that time.
Yeah,
you know, everybody knew who Bill Goldberg was and what he was about back then.
Yeah,
Mr. Goldberg, it's time.
You know, arguably, probably hotter than Brett. You know, Brett kind of had fizzled out by then, and don't get me wrong, Brett's a legend, but I think Goldberg
at the time, you know, at the time, Goldberg was still to this day. You know, I mean, like. Well, you know, when Brett comes out, you know, like when he came out and did his little, you know, little one-offs and stuff like that, you know, he doesn't get, I mean, he gets a pop, but, you know, it's your standard Legends pop. Or Goldberg, you know, when they bring him out, I mean, like.
And music hits, you know.
Yeah, the music hits and everybody starts chanting and, you know, it.
You know, Bret Hart's problem is he's just so sour, you know, and this is coming from me. And he like, you know what I mean? But it's always everybody else's fault. You know, everybody's a phony piece of shit. And there's no greater than Bret the Hitman Hart. And, you know, I remember watching a thing with Scott Hall. And Scott Hall was talking about how they were up around Canada somewhere. And Bret had invited all the guys over for dinner or something. And like, his house was just a shrine to Bret, you know. And Scott Hall was like, you know, I lost some respect for the man. that day just because his whole house, you know, everything was Brett.
He has become a little bitter.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not even saying he doesn't have the right to be, but it's, you know, some of it, you know, not everybody can be against him and not everybody can be just a piece of shit.
Correct.
He had some sunny days. I don't know why he doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, it's not even like he's with the same.
Now, he's kind of a African-American wife now who's about a quarter of his age.
Yeah, she's a lot younger.
Yeah,
she's pretty hot, too.
Yeah, she's smoking hot, actually.
Good for you, Brett. Brag on that.
Yeah.
Also at WWE Armageddon, most notable for the true beginnings of the McMahon-Helmsley era when Stephanie turned on Vince at the end of the street fight with Triple H. Of course, in the storyline, Triple H had roofied Stephanie.
How mad would you be? Yeah. How mad would you be if your daughter was roofied and got married and then she turned her back on you? And
I still remember that entire video where they pulled through the drive-thru and,
hey,
is he okay? And he's like, oh, yeah, she's fine. And like, well, Stephanie, do you take Hunter Hearst Helmsley to be your lover? And he puts his arm up on the steering wheel and leans over and goes, yes, I do.
You know, the real question is, could you pull that off in today's audience? You know, I'd say that you know, the whole idea of roofying somebody would not go over well with the sponsors.
No. Yeah. 21 years ago, WWE Armageddon, Edge and Christian won the WWF tag titles against the Dudley Boys, Road Dogg, K Quick, and Right to Center. And Kurt Angle retained against Steve Austin, Rikishi, The Rock, Undertaker, and Triple H in the first six-man Hell in a Cell championship match.
Yeah.
Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
That's the one when Rikishi went off the cage into a very, very padded
dump truck. Well, you know, that after that original Hell in the Cell, it's like, you know, what do you do? You can't really top that first one, so you just got to try to get that shock value.
No,
you
Foley
know,
and, straight went into business for himself on the first one.
Foley went into business for himself.
Beat that.
Yeah, beat that, you know, and like you said, just a very, 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 very padded fall, you know. And it seemed like that was, you know, that first Hell in the Cell with Foley going into business for himself, it seemed like, you know, that they always, every year, it was like they were trying to one up. And to be honest with you, it's kind of died down in the past couple of years. But, you know, Shane McMahon took that role as the stuntman for many years. It seemed like, you know, one or two times a year, he'd go up and, you know, fall 40 feet or something.
Well, that's what's crazy.
He usually fall off the side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Shane doesn't have to do any of that. He doesn't have to fall from 1 inch to 2 inches. He's a millionaire, and he's out there taking these crazy bumps like a madman.
Well, he did fall out of that helicopter.
Fall out of the helicopter. The helicopter fell out of the sky.
Yeah. Then he went to Foley. He called him and said, beat that.
Yeah. Top that, Foley.
Top that, Foley.
20 years ago this week at WWE Vengeance, The Undertaker beat Rob Van Dam for the hardcore title, and the WWE and WCW world titles were unified in a mini tournament. Steve Austin defeated Kurt Angle to retain the WWF title when Chris Jericho defeated The Rock for the WCW title in the main event. Jericho beat Austin to take both belts to become the undisputed champion.
Gosh, that was 21 years ago.
20 years ago.
Gosh, man, that's, you know, I remember that, you know, not, man, I remember that actually like it was yesterday. You know, I nobody expected Jericho to walk out, you know, with the championships, and he did. And, you know, I was a real big fan of the unified, you know, championship, the belt. You know, I thought it was really cool. But, you know, you talk about a swerve. I don't know if there was a person in that arena that expected the outcome of that match to turn out like it did.
Stayed unified for a while, then, of course, back to two belts we went.
Yeah. You know, I always remember that belt. Like, it's synonymous with, you know, like JBL for me. You know, anytime I see that title, I think of, you know, JBL. Brock, yeah, he was one of them too.
17 years ago this week on a WWE Monday Night Raw, Lita defeated Trish Stratus for the WWE Women's title. And at Armageddon, speaking of JBL, he retained the WWE Championship in a Fatal 4-Way against Booker T, The Undertaker, and Eddie Guerrero.
Man, JBL and Guerrero had some good matches, boy. They had some real good matches. They did. Yeah, they worked well together.
I try to keep it fairly, distant. I usually don't talk about stuff this close unless it's a death. But 6 years ago this week, UFC announced they signed former WWE superstar CM Punk to a 2-fight deal, who went on to lose both of those fights.
Mickey Gale and Michael Jackson, huh?
Yep.
That might go down in history as some of the worst booking ever.
I wish he would not have done it.
No.
I think him coming back to wrestling, if he would have avoided the UFC, would have been even huge, bigger.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you figure what it was about a 7-year span, 6-7 years time span in between there. And how many of those, those kids that were just super huge CM Punk fans at, 10, 11, 12 years old, and now they're 19, 20 going, yeah, I don't really care because I saw that guy get, his ass handed to him. What are you going to do, man? What are you going to do?
5 years ago this week, Tom Zink passed away at the age of 59. And 1 year ago this week, we mentioned him earlier, Zeus, Tiny Lister, passed away at the age of 62.
Man, I didn't realize Tom Zink was gone,
The Z-Man.
That's a tough one. Yeah.
Well, guys, that about wraps it up. Follow us on Facebook at The Slop Drop, on Twitter at The Slop Drop 1. Wherever you get your podcasts, we're there. Check us out on YouTube. Also, go check out Traditions for some ink up in Springfield. As always,
go out, ask for Chad, tell him The Slop Drop sent you. He'll get you a great deal.
Sweet. As always, thank you all for listening. Till next time, we are out of here.